It is 7:15. We continue to remember Katrina, the 20th anniversary. We're going to spend an hour with Walter Leger in a second, but I asked you about expressions that you remembered from Katrina, and I said mine was, you're doing a heck of a job, Brownie. Somebody else said, stuck on stupid from General Honore. That's a go in the mayor's Chocolate City comment. That was in January, of course, after the storm on Martin Luther King Day. The phrase I'll never forget is, I just learned to text. Somebody else said, when someone calls the Ninth Ward the Lower Nine, it is incorrect. I'm from the Ninth Ward. New Orleanians were called refugees instead of evacuees. Drove me crazy. FEMA fix everything, my you-know-what. And how y'all made out with the storm in that? Walter Leger joins us now, attorney, former member of the Louisiana Recovery Authority. Well, more than member. How you doing, counselor? Good morning.
I am great. How are you, Tommy?
I'm good.
Yeah, reflecting on things. By the way, one phrase I remember is one that we greeted each other with, and that was, how'd you do?
Yep, not, absolutely. How'd you
how
do?
How are you?
How'd you do? How'd you make out?
Yeah, and that meant how many feet of water did you get?
Yep. Walter, one thing that came out of Katrina is a friendship with you that I'm deeply appreciative of. But let's start with St. Bernard Parish, because that's where you're from, and then we'll work forward to Road Home. Tell me your story.
My story is we evacuated. You know, I was in the ninth grade when Hurricane Betsy hit.
Mm-hmm.
And while New Orleans didn't hit too badly, it was pretty devastating to St. Bernard. So as I grew up, and raised my children in the parish, whenever a storm came, we loaded them in the minivan, put life jackets on them, and got out of Dodge.
Mm.
So we evacuated to Baton Rouge, stayed in my sister's house. My daughter's house. She was a student at LSU, and we stayed there for the storm itself. Within a day or two, all my kids were there. My son Walt was an assistant district attorney in New Orleans at the time. We went exploring. We rented a condo in Baton Rouge. We knew we were getting no news out of St. Bernard. We knew the path of the storm, St. Bernard would have been devastated. And we were very anxious over the fact that we had good friends in government who had stayed and weren't hearing from them. So Walt and I went about the city once we got this condo to buy a sofa and a TV and some inflatable mattresses. And we heard on the radio that the Secretary of the Council had called and said that there were a few thousand people that had been evacuated after the storm, after the flood, into the warehouse at the St. Bernard Port, and they couldn't get out because there was no way to get any vehicles in there. Walt and I went to the TV station that had also, apparently, according to my daughter, had been broadcasting that same thing. I got on the air. I gave people my cell phone, and I said, look, if you got a boat, call me.
Mm.
We're going down to the parish.
Mm.
Yeah.
You see, that's leadership, because you could have just stayed in the condo or, you know what I mean, and just wait to see what happened.
No, I couldn't.
No, you understand what I'm saying, though.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you're saying, but it was like, they needed help. And we were just going to do it. Walt and I actually, then we found the governor's emergency operations center. And using Walt's district attorney badge, we kind of talked our way in. Saw Andy Coplin there, who was then the chief of staff, the governor. And they were already formulating a plan to get down to St. Bernard, among many other plans. And asked me if I could help them find the way there. And we actually, two other staff members were assigned to me, Sam Jones and Ty Bramell, and we took a car down the West Bank. We got to the Crescent City Connection and to the docks there, flagged down a pilot boat, a Crescent City pilot. But meanwhile, the president of the bar pilots, the Associated Branch pilots, called me. I was their lawyer. He said, hey, did you forget about us? We got boats.
Let me just throw something in here. Walt Leger's dad was a boat pilot for a long time, right?
He was. My grandfather was a ship captain. My dad was a ship captain. Then he became a pilot, a bar pilot. And by the way, my brother's a pilot now, and so is my youngest son.
Wow. Okay.
So we've got a lot of salt in our veins.
So you flag them down. They said, don't forget about us. And what happened?
Yeah, he said, we got boats, and we have the boats in the Chalmette Slip right next to the warehouse. If you can make your way to the there are two sea lift command ships, those gray ships that are always docked near the old port of embarkation and the industrial canal. The port people are staying on there. If you can make your way there, we'll help out. So, by the way, the plan that we had concocted was I was to commandeer the two ferries at Algiers and get the ferries down the St. Bernard, but not until we knew we had buses in Algiers.
Who's gonna drive the ferries or steer them or whomever, the pilots?
Well, what I did, I went to the ferries and talked to the captain. The ferry captains were there.
Okay.
But they and I convinced them that I had the authority of the governor, which was, you know, only half true.
Don't let truth get in the way of a good story. Let me take a break. when it comes to an emergency like that, let me take a break. Walt, we'll pick it up here. We'll come back real quick before I forget. What happened to your home?
Oh, my home was devastated. We had over 15 feet of water. Everything on the ground floor was totally not just destroyed, but I mean, it was like a mixer inside the home, like so many other people.
Right. We're not ignoring any area. We each day we're trying to focus on a different area. And I remember seeing the videos of St. Bernard when that water came up, and that was terrifying to see. 722, we'll pick it up. We come back. Walter Leger is spending the hour with us. Traffic Now, WWL. 727, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Walter Leger, attorney, former member of Louisiana Recovery Authority. I think you were the chairman of that, weren't you, Walter?
No, actually, I was not. I did during the Jindal administration, though, when he downsized it, became the vice chairman and ultimately co-chair when the chairman became ill.
Because I want to hear the story about Kathleen Blanco calling you, but that's after the news. Right now, I want to go back to you commandeering a ferry boat and what happened from there, or attempting to commandeer a ferry boat. Did you?
Yeah, we actually did, you know, it was all on faith and everyone doing the right, you know, wanting to do the right thing. But we had to wait until we knew we had, you know, 80, you know, the school buses. The governor's plan was to get school buses from North Louisiana, get them over to the Algiers landing. The communication was horrible, but we did have DHF on the pilot boats, and on the ferry, for that matter. And so once we got word that the buses were coming, we launched we took the ferries down to the St. Bernard port. And I'm telling you, Tommy, when I walked into that warehouse, the executive director today tells me that they believe there were about 5,000 people in there. It looked like a horror movie. They looked like zombies.
Just shell shocked. Right.
2 or 3 days in the heat, without food or water.
Having lost everything.
Oh, and they had just been actually, you know, rescued from their homes by what was left, the sheriff's department and the firemen who had commandeered boats to go to people's homes. And so they were just starting to get some water. But it was just terrifying looking. But
what day is this, Walter? Chronologically, what are we talking about here? What day?
This would have been about maybe Wednesday.
Okay.
Maybe Wednesday after the storm, a couple of days afterwards. Because as you may remember, you know, we were in Baton Rouge. The TV in Baton Rouge, national news was saying New Orleans has been spared.
Mm-hmm.
In New Orleans, the water rose slowly in New Orleans, but we knew St. Bernard had been devastated because, you know, it was right in the path, and the levees on Mr. Go, by the way, they didn't just breach. They just disappeared like sandcastles on a beach.
Real quick, before we go to news, where'd you take the people on a ferry?
So we went there and gathered the people up, and I mean, there was a breeze on the river. As they got on the ferries, they started cheering, and people were happy, and I was hugging people. We were all kind of crying, and then we took them up to the Algiers ferry landing across the river, where the governor had arranged and had sent maybe 85 school buses. And as people got off the ferries, they got onto the school buses, and they sent them off to wherever.
Well, thank goodness, because that was before downtown flooded, right?
Downtown was probably flooding at about that time.
So if you had not done that,
didn't want to bring him back in into New Orleans,
right? But if you had not done that, those people, I don't know what they would have done.
I guess we'd have gotten them out some way, somehow.
I guess
that was the plan.
Might have taken a ferry to Baton Rouge.
Many went to Baton Rouge.
I'm saying you might have taken the ferry to Baton Rouge if the city had flooded.
We could have.
Yeah.
Actually, at the same time, people were calling me on my cell phone, and people were bringing boats down from up the river, from Baton Rouge, loaded with underwear and water and utensils and toothbrushes and stuff. People were loading barges and stuff with all kind of things for survivors.
Let me take a break, Walter. We'll pick it up when we come back. We're talking to Walter Leger about Katrina, and Mr. Go was something else you brought up that, man, I remember doing interviews. I know we got to go, but back in the 90s with people who told me exactly what was going to happen with the Mr. Go, and it did, but nobody listened. Finally, they did. We'll take a break, come back more with Walter Leger. Time now, WWL First News. 7:46, quickly back to Walter Leger, attorney, former Maryland, Louisiana Recovery Authority. We've already talked about St. Bernard and the damage there. Well, tell me about, you're driving in your car, you get a call from Governor Kathleen Blanco, right? Do I remember that correctly?
Yeah, you're right. After all of that, we began trying to recover with respect to my family and our homes, and I'm going back and forth to Baton Rouge quite a bit. If you remember in those days, you really often lost cell coverage somewhere between New Orleans and Baton Rouge. Well, I'm driving to Baton Rouge, and my phone rings in my car, and the voice is, Mr. Leger. I said, yes. She said, this is Governor Blanco. Well, with that, I pulled over the side of the road. I didn't want to lose the governor.
Yeah, it'll get your attention.
And I really didn't know Governor Blanco at the time. And she proceeded to tell me, look, I'm putting together an organization, a commission that's going to rebuild Louisiana. We're going to be bipartisan. We'll have Republicans and Democrats. We're not going to be political, but we're going to do what we can to rebuild Louisiana. Understand that that you would like to probably be involved in something like this. I said, are you kidding? Absolutely. She said, well, would you agree to serve? I said, Governor, I'll be there 24/7. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know, Tommy, how many 24s and how many 7s there would be. but I was honored. And then within a few weeks, we all got together and started trying to put the state back together.
How do you even begin to do that, Walter? What was the thought around the table? You got the best and the brightest, hopefully, around the table talking about how do we do this, how do we do that. The thought was to get money into people's hands as quickly as you could so they could use it to rebuild?
Well, if you remember, yes, we had some really good people on it. Norman Francis was the chairman. The vice chairman was Walter Isaacson. Donna Brazile was on it. Mary Madeline from the Republican side.
And Walter Isaacson told me day before yesterday that at one point it came up, it's like no political agenda here. There are no Democrats, no Republicans, right?
That's exactly what our instructions were and our feelings were. Mm-hmm. This is about, it doesn't matter, politics doesn't matter. People have lost their homes. We had over 200,000 homes destroyed. We had 220,000 businesses destroyed. And we had, 40 schools destroyed. 835 schools severely damaged. So we were in trouble. The D's and R's didn't matter. But the other side of it was what suddenly dawned upon us, the first tranche of money sent down by the federal government sent about $5 billion to Mississippi and $6 billion to us. Well, no offense to Mississippi, but we had five to 10 times the damage they had. And we simply needed more money to be able to begin a rebuilding program and to rebuild the state. I mean, a poor state like Louisiana can't afford to rebuild a disaster of this magnitude, the biggest, by the way, national disaster in the history of America. Mm-hmm. Our assignment was let's develop a plan. We hired experts. We debated. We argued. We tried to learn things. And my assignment was partially to go to Washington with the governor. I testified before five or six congressional committees, and the governor's thought was, as a homeowner, I would appreciate, you know, and empathize with what all of us had gone through, and might be a little bit more credible to members of Congress, as a litigation lawyer, that I should be able to make the case persuasively. And so that's kind of how we undertook it. We launched the whole rebuilding program before it was complete.
Walt, you know, was that
we were building as we were sailing.
Was that when Mitch Landrieu addressed the, I think he was lieutenant governor at the time, and addressed the issue of corruption? Because I remember hearing that on the air on WWL, and he said, look, before we get into that, let's talk about Chicago, Philadelphia. Everybody has corruption, so don't let that hinder aid, right?
One thing that we were committed to, and the governor, of course, I mean, I became a great admirer of Governor Blanco, and her attitude was yes. We have a history of corruption in Louisiana. These programs, particularly the road home, will not be corrupt. We will not have, we're going to have double, we're going to make sure the nation understands we can do it right. And by the way, when you look back historically, that's one of the things we have to be very proud of. We built some protections in, which may have some degree slowed things down, but it also helped us get additional funding. And I think we largely avoided any real scandals or hints of corruption.
Walter, did you not tell me, and I told Walter Isaacson this the other day, and I fumbled for the word, but the word was succession, that a lot of the delays were because estates had never been settled and people were afraid to go to succession because they were afraid that somebody was going to steal a house from them?
Well, that's particularly true in the context of the Road Home program. You had, in order to get funds, you had to demonstrate that you were the person that had title. In order to even sell it to the state, you had to have title. And particularly in the lower Ninth Ward, for example, many of these homes had been in families for generations and had been passed to some relative, but the successions had never been opened and ownership not declared. We had a title insurance company that was examining titles, et cetera, and there was difficulties in clearing title for many, 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 many homes. That did slow things down somewhat, but eventually we fought through it and worked through it.
What worked best, Walter?
I'm sorry?
What worked best with the Road Home program?
Well, I think, well, for one thing, it was a battle. It was a battle to get funding. It was a battle with HUD. HUD, we were told the CDBG money, that the community development block grant money that was coming down to allow us to rebuild, was the easiest money, federal money, to spend. If that's true, I don't know how they ever spend any money. The red tape and the strings attached were tremendous. But we developed a program with HUD people embedded in Baton Rouge in the governor's office, giving us waivers to try to move things along quickly. Developed the program initially, which would have provided full funding, we think, including if the grants themselves didn't complete the necessary cost of construction. We had forgivable loans and affordable loans attached to the rear end that local banks had agreed to give. But suddenly on March 7th of 2007, HUD, for some reason, some people say political, some people say political, just actually told us no, ended the program. So, and told us we just had to start, you know, paying money and writing checks. Well, you can't just write checks. There has to be some calculated formula. At the end of the day, what worked? We ended up rebuilding 130,000 homes through the Road Home program. For people of lower economic assets and resources and income, we developed a thing called an additional compensation grant to help, you know, boost a little bit more some of those funds. And I, by the way, still today chair of the Louisiana Land Trust, which is the organization that was created to receive people's homes, that people that wanted to sell their homes under what we call an option three, would be sold to the state, but actually go to the Louisiana Land Trust. And the task of the land trust was to eventually demolish those homes, refurbish the property, keep the property, you know, the grass cut, et cetera, and return it to commerce so homes could be rebuilt. That was 12,500 homes, about 4,500 in St. Bernard, about 4,200 in New Orleans. Today, every single one of those pieces of property has been returned.
Walter, thank you so much for your time. Soon, you, me, and Walter Third at Galatoire's on Friday afternoon. This time, it's my treat, okay?
No. But by the way, you said it at the beginning, one of the real benefits of having gone through this horrible disaster is the friendship that we made between you and I.
Amen.
And my son.
Amen,
thank
brother.
Thank you, Tommy, for everything you do.
Thank you. I'm a member of the Leger family, an honorary member. 7:55, 5 till 8, traffic now, WWL.